Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor. I am so happy today to have Marissa here with us. Marissa, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, Leticia. I'm very grateful that you have me on here. So my name is Marissa Conway. I am certainly, unfortunately, someone who is very familiar with survival mode. I know it very well. It's not something anyone ever plans on living in for an extended period of time, but sometimes it happens to the best of us, depending on the circumstances. And it's something I'm eager to talk about. I've been an emergency room nurse in the state of Pennsylvania for over a decade. I've had a sort of a past that is unfortunately speckled with some tragedy in my life. Growing up as a child, I had a difficult childhood, and in some of those, the outcome of my past has in a lot of ways affected some of the decisions I made as an adult. And unfortunately, it started a cascade of events that launched me into survival mode. And I'm here to talk about it and share my story. And hopefully in doing that, my struggles weren't in vain, and I'll be able to help other people and maybe prevent them going through some of the hardships I've had too recently.
I love it all. So we're going to dive right into this series of events that landed you in survival mode. Do tell.
Yeah. My story, when I was going through it, it seemed unique to me. However, the more I educated myself and tried to help myself, and the more I learned about it, I learned it's not at all unique whatsoever. A lot of people go through it, but there's a lot of shame surrounding the circumstance. And so what I'll say is, as a child, I went through it, but I didn't really know what it was. It didn't really have a name. It didn't have a label, or at least not one that I was exposed to or the people in my community were. When I was 15, my mother divorced my father. She sent me to France for a short stint and launched false allegations of domestic abuse. And my biological mother was unfortunately fairly abusive as a parent, very abusive, physically early on, psychologically, emotionally, everything. And she had enough of my father and she just tried to destroy his life. So when I came back from France, I found my father to be gone, my younger brother to be an absolute emotional wreck. And my mother went out of her way to really taint our viewpoint and our vision of our father in our minds. She continued to do that throughout her life. Whenever I had any contact with her, she never had something kind to say to him, about him, even after his death. He died in 2010, but the few times I was in contact with her, she was always exceptionally aggressive regarding him. And there's a name for it. It's called parental alienation, and it happens in varying degrees. And I think it's normal for a lot of parents or just to be bitter, to be angry about the other person when a marriage or a relationship fails. And just because that happens doesn't constitute parental alienation. But parental alienation is unique in the way that you try to purposely poison your child's viewpoint against the other parent and really go out of your way to sabotage the relationship. And it really is harmful to the children. So yeah, absolutely. It is. It's very harmful to the children. And I think sometimes parents who purposely or not purposely partake in it or execute it don't realize how damaging it is to children. Like most children, I think, who experience it, it certainly damaged the relationship I had with the mother, my mother, with the parent that was doing it. But I didn't realize at the time, but it affected the way I looked at relationships and what I could tolerate in my adult life. I really didn't understand that. Or it affects your self-worth. It affects every core part of like your inner ego. It affects your decision-making process. So I thought I got over it. I went on and, you know, I married someone, I had children, I had a successful career, and I tried to put my past behind me. But unfortunately, that resurfaced. In 2023, I asked for a divorce from my husband. My marriage had been unfulfilling for a while. There were a lot of very unfortunate scenarios that occurred during my marriage. And I don't think it's flattering to paint yourself as a victim, I think. And it doesn't necessarily help other people when you try to just point the finger and say it's completely someone else's fault and I was completely victimized, because I'm not a perfect person. There were faults I made. But with that being said, when I left my ex-husband, he went out of his way to alienate me from my children. And it was something that I did not expect whatsoever, he and his family, to the point of making false child abuse allegations and trying to destroy my career. I'm an emergency room nurse. So the irony is, it's my job, it's incumbent upon me to call Child Protective Services when kids come in to the department. And here I was in a position where I was trying to support myself, going through a very difficult time, asking for a divorce for a man I was married to for close to 17 years. And he was going out of his way to destroy me in every which way through the legal system. He made it impossible for me to see my children periodically, he and his family. And it put me into survival mode. It's something that I don't think any parent can prepare themselves for, the circumstances at which I had gone through, unfortunately. But I know that there are a lot more parents out there who have that are just, it's very, I'll say it's not something that I think is talked commonly in the parenting community. It's not something that people are very aware of, but I'll say it's completely altered the trajectory of my life and really harmed it in a lot of ways, because it changed the way I viewed myself. I started questioning every decision I made, and I made a lot of really, really poor decisions while I was in survival mode. And I can touch on those certainly, but when you're under attack perpetually for a long period of time, and I was under attack by the means of lawfare, where his legal team was constantly just hurling insults and aggressive actions towards me that were all unfounded. The way I handled my problems, the way I handled my circumstances really was uncharacteristic of who I have been my entire life. I think survival mode, one way to look at it too, is you go into fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And that's without a doubt what I was living in for months at a time, where I could only see 24 hours or 48 hours in front of me. I lost the ability to plan, to make wise decisions for myself. If someone were to ask me at times, well, what are you going to do, you know, next Friday or next Saturday, or what are you doing next month for vacation, or any of those questions that normal people ask who converse, who have or in control of their executive decisions, which I was not. There was no way I could have answered you. There were periods of time where I was 6 hours in front of me. You know, I was only able to make decisions for the following day. And it was very crippling. And I felt exceptionally shameful too, because truthfully, it's something I didn't really understand. And for the longest time, I think all of us, at times we hear periodically how parents have estranged relationships with their children. They might not have great relationships with their adult children, even when they're younger children. And I will admit that my first reaction as a parent was, you know, I would always give the child the benefit of the doubt and just make an assumption. Well, the parent must have not been loving enough, not been caring enough, might have done things incorrectly, obviously, as a parent, that would lead to an estranged relationship. Because what child would abandon their parent or really dislike their parent unless there was obvious abuse and neglect? So that was always an assumption that I would jump to, and I held firmly. It's just how I thought, which is, it seems a little silly because, again, my mother tried her best. But the ironic part of that was, is I always tried to stay in contact with my biological mother. I never refused to see her. If she would reach out, I would accept her invitation, but she was someone who wasn't really interested in staying in my life. So anyway, when I was going through this survival mode and I was experiencing parental alienation at its worst, I felt incredible shame. I was very embarrassed to talk about it. I was very embarrassed to read.
Element of it. You're really ashamed and embarrassed.
I was immersed in incredible shame, in a substantial shame, to the point where it was difficult for me to talk about it with colleagues, with friends, with relatives. The few people I was able to confide in were people who knew my ex-husband and knew my children well and understood the dynamic of the situation and knew my family history and how the things that were happening to me, he was capable and his family were capable of carrying out. But if I think if I would have, unfortunately, if I would have told a lot of people who had, healthy, functional relationships with their families, which a lot of people do, thankfully, they wouldn't have understand it. And I think that's in part because there's really not much understanding in the community about parental alienation. And furthermore, it's not really something that's not just understood, but the legal system, the family court system, doesn't even really recognize the terminology. And that's in part because the American Psychiatric Association doesn't recognize it. They recognize estrangement and broken relationships between children and parents and things of that nature, but the terminology parental alienation is not something that is a diagnosis. So because of that, the family court system, if you talk to attorneys, divorce attorneys, and even judges, it's something they're all aware of to varying degrees, but there's no specific framework in mind, or really isn't any framework that helps them identify it as a form of child abuse and spousal or domestic abuse and address it. Because it's a complex phenomena. It's so insidious. And when you think about child abuse or spousal abuse, there are obvious signs of physical abuse and neglect, and there's things that are measurable that the system can identify and treat, and also can be punitive. They can do something to the aggressor, of course. But with parental alienation, that's not always the case. A lot of the times, the child appears like a normal, healthy child that's well cared for, which they are. They can be physically. They're not necessarily domestically abused. They're not physically abused, but the emotional abuse that they have to go through and how it affects them potentially forever throughout their lives is something that is just horrific and astounding. And there's so much data supporting the theory of parental alienation. And there are a lot of commonalities and specific diagnosable characteristics that children experience when they're going through parental alienation that you can identify. So.
It's actually interesting that you've brought this up. Before we get into the discussion about how what it took for you to exit survival mode, I actually attribute my parental alienation experience as the beginning of my survival mode. And that was like, I didn't even know this term before you brought it up, to be honest, but I went through that something very similar. I was bl actually blamed for my parents' divorce, but in doing so, my father painted my mother as someone who then perpetuated the issue that my birth created, right? And it created this narrative for me that my mom was the bad one. She was the one that destroyed everything. And I was 7. I didn't understand. I suspect my father is a narcissist, and I didn't understand his reasoning But I was a data's girl, right? And that I remember that conversation was a major turning point for me. And whenever I tell my story, that's where I start. So
Yeah.
it's actually very interesting. You've experienced this as a child, but as well as a parent on the other side of someone's very negative narrative, right? So
Yes.
you recognize that you're in survival mode. You aren't able to make executive decisions at this point. You're barely getting through the hour, right? What was that aha moment for you that like something has to change for me? And what did it take to impart that change?
That's an excellent question, and I just want to say, thanks for sharing. I think every time I hear someone, and it's unfortunate that I shouldn't say that I smile inside when I hear someone else sharing the story about parental alienation, but it just helps validate my experience that it is real. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. That's terrible. And it's interesting. I think sometimes when we go through something, we don't really know the predisposing factor, the precipice of what sent us off into survival mode. Sometimes we can't really identify that because it's something that's buried deep in our past, and it
Absolutely.
contributed to the decisions we made. And that's something that I definitely wasn't aware of. But to answer your question, the aha moment, I think the aha moment for me was, I was, and this is deeply personal for me, but it's something that I is something that just rocked my world and sort of further catapulted me into survival mode. Is during this time, I was doing everything I could just to save my relationship with my children. Everything I could. I was trying to survive as a single parent, and the legal bills were compounding. And I'm a bedside nurse. I mean, there was a limit to how much money I could make during this time. So I started making risky financial decisions, just investing in things, gambling in a way, not going to casinos, but doing anything I could to, make quick revenue to pay my legal bills, to secure my relationship with my children. And I was on the brink of financial disaster. And it's not because I was spending recklessly on myself. I was just, as I said, I was just doing, I wasn't really operating with a lot of forethought. My risk to reward, the decisions I was making were not characteristic of who I was my entire adult life. I was someone who was always very fiscally responsible, someone who always weighed big financial decisions before I made them. And here I was just making risky decisions over and over again in my life without a clear path of how I was going to carry them through. And while I was, of course, under the constant onslaught of the lawfare that was being waged against me and the immense grief of not seeing my children, I just, while I was in survival mode, I continued to make poor decisions for myself. And when I realized what I was doing and how I was committing myself to things during a time that, even though some of them may have been really beneficial, were something that was not feasible for me to carry out, given my circumstances and my scenario and how I was behaving and my perception of myself, I realized that I have to make a sudden and quick change or I'm going to destroy myself. I'm going to implode and the worst case scenario could happen. And that's really it. When I realized that I wasn't just at risk of losing my relationship with my children, which to me was the worst possible thing I could lose. I was at risk of destroying myself because, also, too, I'll be honest, I was making poor decisions because I had so much self-hatred and loathing. Because how did I let this happen? How did I not see this? I was married to this person who, in some ways, was a monster. He really was for so long, and I let so many things slide. Like it altered my whole perception of my self-worth. And when I realized that and the truth came crashing down on me, I started believing that I didn't deserve anything, that maybe I deserve the outcome of this. I started sabotaging my life unknowingly. I wasn't even aware of it, but I was doing it. And it's something that I had never done to myself prior. I was always pretty resilient, but this circumstance of being stripped from periodically times of seeing my children, my rights with my children, set me into survival mode where not only was I fleeing in some ways the system and the shame and the unfortunate scenario. But while I was doing that, I was unknowingly sabotaging myself. And when I, it got to a point when I had to stop and look at where my life was, subsequent of the decisions I was making, it was a life or death decision. I had to get control.
Mm-hmm. So what did it take for you to get control? What did that journey look like for you?
Yeah. What did it take? It took a lot of willingness to change, which is really hard. It's really hard to try to reinvent yourself and change your perception of who you are and why this happened during a time of extreme grief and anguish. It's so much easier to pass blame on others and just think that you're a product of the circumstance and none of this is your fault. And somehow someone else should pay and I shouldn't have to do anything else. It's very easy when you're going through something and very difficult to sit back and kind of get lost in the victim mindset. And at times I was when you're thinking I am the victim, which I was in a lot of ways, I absolutely was even through my marriage. But when you embody that mindset, then it strips you of your power. It strips you of your willingness to change. It strips you of, you know, all those executive decisions that you once made and that ability to of forethought and planning. And it just leaves you in this station of complete misery and just sitting back and letting life happen. And the more I did that and the more I grieved and I was just I was inactive. I was not a willing participant in helping myself, the worse my life got. So when I was pretty much at a point of almost financial collapse, is when I realized, and it wasn't because, to clarify, it wasn't because of substance abuse or alcohol abuse. That wasn't my story. However, it is for a lot of parents who go through parental alienation. They fall victim to other things, and my heart goes out to them because I understand the need. I completely understand the need for self-medicating therapy. And sometimes you don't always make wise decisions to try to make yourself feel better. You know, a lot of people fall victim to developing unhealthy habits, or the unhealthy habits they once had are now amplified. And I understand that.
The amplification is definitely a huge residual impact. You know, one of the things that really stood out for me is that willingness, right? There is a saying, in order for change to occur, your willingness to change has to be greater than your willingness to remain the same.
Yes.
And, you know, our brains are wired to keep us in a state that we're used to. I often talk about, I got really used to one of the impacts of survival mode is getting used to that fight and flight or fawn response. And you apply it to almost everything. So when you are in a state where those state of minds aren't triggered, it's almost as it's foreign to you. So I know I entered into relationships after being in abusive relationships or toxic relationships because that was what I was used to. It wasn't that I wanted toxicity, but my willingness to change, my willingness, and at that time, I didn't know my willingness for peace was being diminished by my willingness to remain in a state that I was used to, remain in that chaos. That's one thing we do get addicted to without even realizing. We get addicted to the chaos, right? And it's like you said, it's incredibly hard to change that. But that willing needs to be the overriding factor in order for us to move forward. The other thing that you mentioned was a bit about reinvention, right? And I talk about this, listeners, you probably heard me talk about this 100 times. I think there are 3 phases to coming out of survival mode. One is self-awareness, next is reprogramming, and then the last bit is the reinvention part, right? Like oftentimes we think that after events, we are going to go back to what it was before, and that is a fallacy, right?
Yes. I couldn't
Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. I couldn't agree with you more. Everything you're saying is completely resonating with my experience. Yeah.
It's a reinvention. Yes, we have to work through whatever put us in survival mode, but it's not about going backwards because now our experiences have changed us, and oftentimes it changes us at a cellular level without us understanding that, right? So we are different, and we have to reinvent ourselves in order to move forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll say, speaking to that, that's something that periodically I still struggle with. I'm not going to lie. Because prior to the toxic divorce I experienced and all the trauma surrounding that, I was complacent in a lot of ways, but I was in a secure place financially. And I had a somewhat of a secure, or I'll say my self-perception of who I was in some ways, what I thought was secure. I was unhappy deep down inside with the relationship and my living circumstance with my ex-husband, but I had full access to my children. I was at my career. It was going well. There were a lot of factors in my life that were going in my benefits. I was in control of a lot of things. It just wasn't my marriage was, I'm very unfortunate, but you're absolutely right. After the survival mode, to this day, there are times where I want to recapture what once was, what I knew, the safety and security, my perception before I went through this. And when I think about that, it just sets me back. It sets me back. But it's something that you have to make a conscious decision. It takes so much mental fortitude, the strength that I have to employ every day to not fall back into survival mode sometimes because of how long I was living in an unfortunate circumstance that I wasn't aware of. And it's ironic, and I hate admitting it because I'm someone who it was my profession to screen people for things such as this. It was my profession to look for abuse circumstances and to help people. And I think that's why I committed myself so entirely to my career, is because it's so much easier, I think, sometimes to focus on other people and try and help them versus be introspective and help yourself. It's much easier to ignore your issues and not help yourself. And that's something I'm still to this day guilty of, that I recognize. But when you touched on the different parts of what you have to do following survival mode and how it's impossible to go back and you have to make a conscious decision to change. And it is so hard to change when you're going through survival mode because it's just that epiphany where you have to make the decision to change yourself. It takes a lot of hardship to get there because in survival mode, you're just so consumed with surviving and not having a lot of the inability to make complex decisions and the best decisions for yourself. You're so reactive instead of proactive. And,
Absolutely.
yeah, and you can't understate how hard that can be for some people who are going through survival mode.
Well, I mean, this is why we're having this discussion, right? This is exactly why this podcast exists, because oftentimes I think the awareness of being in survival mode often comes after you've exited it. Right? It's not, I'm surviving today. It's not that. It's oftentimes, you get to this place where you recognize a change needs to happen and you implement that willingness that you spoke about to make that change happen. And then it's that reflection afterwards. Wow, I was really in that state for a very long time. Yeah, I've really enjoyed this conversation because you've touched on many things. You touched on what it looks like to actually be there. It doesn't necessarily look like this horrible, dark place that people imagine depression to be. You spoke about this. I couldn't even make executive decisions. Like it's really honing in on that analogy that survival mode is autopilot. You are e essentially just existing. And I think that's important for our listeners to understand. You touched on the shame. You touched on the emotions that were attached to your experience, which also often keeps us in survival mode, right? The shame. We don't want to express the heaviness of what we are enduring day to day, right? We're embarrassed
Absolutely.
by it. We're ashamed of it. And that perpetuates the circumstance. So I think this conversation has been really enlightening, and I really have enjoyed our time together. How can people connect with you if they resonate with your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, because of my experience with parental alienation and for the last year and a half, and also my experience as a child, I felt drawn, I felt the need to write a book. So I have a book that's about to be published. It's called Shattered Bonds, Resilient Heart. And it's a book, it's really a book, it's a self-help book. There's bits and pieces of my personal story in it that people can draw from. But also too, in the book, is a multitude of lessons that I learned the hard way that I hope other parents or even adult children who have gone through parental alienation, they don't, this way, they don't have, hopefully, they don't have to endure the severity of the circumstances I did. I only hope that when people go through this, they are able to recognize the warning signs and when it is occurring to make the conscious decisions to stop it. And this was the catalyst that put me into survival mode that nearly destroyed me. And I know that this phenomena is a significant cause of suicide in adults. And I know it has long-lasting effects on children throughout their lives and adults without even people realizing it. So I just felt so compelled to do whatever I can so my experiences weren't in vain and I can help other people. So that's one way, of course, that they can connect with me. And also too, simultaneously, I'm launching a coaching business, Presence and Persistence Life Coaching. This is a business where I can hopefully, my goal is to talk to other parents who are experiencing this phenomena and help them through it. I'm so excited. This is, it's interesting. It's something that for the longest time, I didn't understand. And I was so shameful to talk about because of fear of misunderstanding and judgment. But I realized once I exit survival mode, the things that matter most in my life aren't what others may think about me, which is what I was consumed about during survival mode. I was consumed with was this concern of perception, of other people's perception of me. So much so that it was hindering my growth and destroying possibilities for me to make decisions to further help myself in the future. I hope my wish is that I can talk to other parents who are experiencing the same and, just so this way my story resonates with them and I can prevent them from going through what I've had to go through.
I love it. So I will. When is the book coming out?
It should be coming out within the next month to 2 months.
Okay. So I will keep in touch with you, and I will make sure that the show notes are updated once you have a link for people to purchase the book. And exciting times. I wish you best wishes with the coaching business. One final takeaway for the audience. What do you
Yeah.
have for us?
Final takeaway for the audience, I would say, first and foremost, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Love yourself. I think when you go through survival mode, inevitably you can't help but be very critical of yourself at times and question how you got there and what you did to put yourself there. When you're so traumatized and you're so unhappy, you can't help but be extremely critical of yourself and question every decision you make. But real growth doesn't happen until you accept yourself and your flaws and all the circumstances that happened that got you there, and then grow from those circumstances. It's really hard to change your circumstances and change your experience without being honest with yourself. So, with that, and you can't be honest without yourself, with yourself. Without really loving yourself and putting yourself first.
Absolutely. Marissa, thank you so much for your time today. Again, I've really enjoyed this conversation, listeners. Thank you for listening. I am going to invite you to connect with Marissa. Information will be in the show notes. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms, and I will see you next week.